Sunday the 27th of August 2017, 10:45 service. Sermon series, Samson, a game of two halves. Sermon title, Blind Revelation. Bible reading, Judges chapter 16, verses 21 to 31. Talk by Darrell Williams. Darrell began his talk with a two-round quiz about superheroes and Samson, which has largely been omitted from this version of the recording. The unedited version is available on request from our webmaster. Okay, over to Chika now for our Bible reading.
The reading this morning is taken from the book of Judges 16, from verse 21. Then the Philistines seized him, gouged out his eyes, and took him down to Gaza, binding him with bronze shackles. They set him to grinding in the prison. But the hair on his head began to grow again after he had been shaved. Now the rulers of the Philistines assembled to offer a great sacrifice to Dagon, their god, and to celebrate, saying, "Our god has delivered Samson, our enemy, into our hands." When the people saw him, they praised their god, saying, "Our god has delivered our enemy into our hands, the one who laid waste our lands and multiplied our slain." While they were in high spirit, they shouted, "Bring out Samson to entertain us." So they called Samson out of the prison, and he performed for them. When they stood him among the pillars, Samson said to the servant who held his hand, "Put me where I can feel the pillars that support the temple, so that I may lean against them." Now the temple was crowded with men and women. All the rulers of the Philistines were there, and on the roof were about 3,000 men and women watching Samson perform. Then Samson prayed to the Lord, "O sovereign Lord, remember me. O God, please strengthen me just one more, and let me with one blow get revenge on the Philistines for my two eyes." Then Samson reached towards the two central pillars on which the temple stood, raising himself against them, his right hand on the one and his left hand on the other. Samson said, "Let me die with the Philistines." Then he pushed with all his might, and down came the temple on the rulers and all the people in it. Thus he killed many more when he died than while he lived. Then his brothers and his father's whole family went down to get him. They brought him back and buried him between Zerah and Eshtaol in the tomb of Manoah, his father. He had led Israel for 20 years. This is the word of the Lord.
I'm on now. Excellent. Right, okay. Now, I'm on the understanding that if you get the 10:45 service, you're supposed to be a little bit mad. Is that right? Well, that's what you're going to get anyway. So, okay, right, here we go. Right, now, this is going to be a bit... Okay, right, now, we're going to do a quiz. So, right, here's answer sheets and a pen. He's here. No razor had ever been used to cut his hair. Okay. Everyone seemed to know all them answers. Did anyone actually get... Did everyone get all the answers right?
Yeah.
Did anyone get any answers wrong? So the story of Samson is not the easiest to teach. And he is someone who does not always behave well and is not the easiest character to understand. He's a man who is gifted great power from God and started life with so much potential. There was nothing stopping him from being a great ruler who had little to fear from his enemies. His great powers meant no enemy should have been a threat to him. But he is someone who ultimately is responsible for his own downfall because of making bad decisions and through his own weaknesses. Looking through the story of Samson, I see this as an example of how God wants to bless us in our daily lives, but how we can, at times, allow things to get in the way which can prevent us from enjoying God's full blessings. This is a story that highlights the fact that sin has negative consequences. The consequences of being disobedient can interrupt our fellowship with the Lord. The story also, and this is very important, highlights God's amazing love, his redemptive power and forgiveness. Even when we get things wrong, God can make things right. He can still fulfill his purposes even when, like Samson, maybe for our own mistakes, we find ourselves in the midst of difficult situations. Whilst talking about sinfulness, I wonder if you've ever stopped to think about what sin is. It is a term we hear and use all the time, but how well do we actually know what the term represents? One definition of sin translated from Greek means to miss the mark. I've heard it used as an old archery term describing a shot that goes wide of its target. As I was looking up the term online, I started to read someone making the argument that the definition should not be used, as it suggests all sin is accidental, and is sin not a deliberate act, an immoral action, a rebellion against God. No archer intends to miss the bullseye, but what about Samson, for example? He was someone who ignored family pleas and demanded a Philistine wife, which had disastrous consequences. Personally, I think sin can be a mixture of different things. It is important to note here that there are clear rights and wrongs in life, and we should obviously try our best to walk the right path. The reality is the world can be a difficult place. We can face situations that are not always black and white. And in those scenarios, the lines between right and wrong may seem blurred. We can face challenges that are not of our own doing, but leave us struggling to know what is the best way forward. In the Book of Common Prayer, there is a prayer of penitence which describes sin in a multitude of ways. Almighty God, our Heavenly Father, we have sinned against you and against our neighbour in thought and word and deed. Through negligence, through weakness, for our own deliberate fault, we are truly sorry and repent of all our sins. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, who died for us, forgive us all that is past, and grant that we may serve you in newness of life, in the glory of your name. Amen. You might be wondering why I'm talking about sin this morning. Well, the main reason is to focus on just how much of a mess Samson had made of things, how he calls out to God, and how God responds. If we turn back to the last passage in our sermon series on Samson, we see he has landed himself in a really bad situation. He fell in love with a woman named Delilah, who was bribed by the Philistines to discover what gave him such great power. His head gets shaved, and we are told because of his disobedience that the Lord had left him. In today's passage, we learn Samson has been blinded. He was forced to work in a prison and was grinding at a mill. It is not clear what type of mill that was being used, but a grinding stone would normally be a job that was given to a donkey. If he had been given a role usually carried out by a donkey, it is possible that he was made to do this, as he had previously taken revenge on the Philistines using a donkey's jawbone. Judges 15:15-16. Finding a fresh jawbone of a donkey, he grabbed it and struck down 1,000 men. Then Samson said, "With a donkey's jawbone, I have made a donkey's of them. With a donkey's jawbone, I have killed 1,000 men." Samson, a man who held great power, is being humiliated by his enemies. And if this was not bad enough, the Philistines celebrate in a temple dedicated to a false god known as Dagon. Samson had fallen because of sin, because of weakness. He told Delilah about his special power, and as a result, God had left Samson. He had not been conquered like the Philistines believed, by a false god. For Samson, things just keep going from bad to worse. The Philistines, not satisfied with their victory and celebrations, decide they want Samson to entertain them. He was a man who has hit absolute rock bottom. It is hard to imagine how it could get any worse for the former strong man. Is there any way he could go any lower? I was blessed to call up with friends on Friday evening for a meal who I've not seen in a long time. I was catching up with my brothers and mentioned that I was teaching today. In my conversation, I said I was having difficulty knowing how I'd approach this difficult passage during a family service. My brothers pointed out something that just had not occurred to me. The final passage in the story of Samson shows how no situation is beyond God's reach, no matter how bad it may seem. No situation is beyond God's redemptive love and power. And there is another important point about enjoying fellowship with our brothers and sisters in Christ. In fact, I was saved this morning. My printer broke down. I come running to church and was reassured, and Chica gave me a blessing in a few words. So I was kind of getting nervous, thinking, why is everything going wrong? And actually, I enjoyed great fellowship this morning in coming to church to print out all my documents rather than just sat at home printing at home. It wasn't as bad as it looked. Through fellowship and through the guidance of the Holy Spirit, I knew what my focus would be for today from that conversation with my friends. And we here have prayer ministry, home groups, and of course we can share fellowship with each other this morning as we worship together. Samson may have hit rock bottom. He may have lost his power through disobedience, and God may have turned from him. But he recognizes God is the true source of his strength. Although his hair was growing back, he prays to the Lord for power, and his strength is restored. It is difficult to teach on a passage where Samson's final act was to kill a multitude of Philistines. But as far as a military victory was concerned, what appeared like a desperate, even hopeless situation, Samson scored the biggest ever victory against his enemies. Whilst he lost his own life in destroying the temple, for a military man, he dies in battle, and he could no longer be humiliated by the Philistines. This is an extreme situation, but it is also before Jesus goes to the cross, which restored the broken relationship between man and God. It is a story that reminds me of the parable of the prodigal son in Luke 15, 11 to 32. There are two sons, and the youngest wants his inheritance early. He sets off for a faraway land and spends all of his money on wild living. He is caught out by famine and finds himself in desperate need and is hungry and has no food. He decided to return home and apologize for his wrongdoing, and his main hope was that his father would take enough pity on him to offer him work and treat him not as a son but as a servant. His father, however, upon his son's return, brings out great robes, amazing food, and holds a huge celebration. The older brother, who remained loyal to his father, is confused. Surely the younger son does not deserve such festivities. The father explained to his older son that he has always remained with him and everything he has is his. But regards the younger son, he was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. We can all make mistakes in life, sometimes by our own deliberate failings, sometimes through weakness, sometimes in error. But God is in every situation. Samson lived in a time before Jesus, and the Son of God went to the cross, taking our sins upon his shoulders. He restored the damaged relationship between man and God. For anyone who does not know Christ, all it requires is a simple prayer. Salvation is offered as a gift, and if, like Samson, we learn to trust God and seek him in prayer, he can speak into any situation and guide us through any difficulty, no matter whether it's of our own doing or not. He may not always answer prayers in the way we might expect, but no situation is beyond his reach or control. Acts 3:19. Repent then and turn to God, so that your sins may be wiped out, that times of refreshing may come from the Lord. Amen.